Morning, everybody.
Morning.
I was back here. We were going through our singing, and when I say going through it, I mean I was experiencing it. It was a blessing, an amazing blessing. And I was thinking to myself, imagine that a little bit of ice falling out of the sky might have stopped somebody from being here today. Whew. Boy, they missed out. I love that music. Touched me big time. There was a time in my life that I wasn't a pastor. I wasn't standing up in front of the church. I was just one of the workers in the church. And they handed me things, and I thought, man, this is way over my head. I don't know if I can do this or not. And one of those things that they did to me was they gave me the teenage class to teach. And I'm not crashing and beating on teenagers or anything. But you know what? They ask some questions that are tough sometimes. They have questions. They want to know. They're not just messing with you. They want to know. And I didn't feel up to the task, and I probably learned a lot more than they did. But during that time, when I was pushed and pulled, I was teaching about this time that Jesus healed a leper. And in our class, we realized something, and it got laid on me again later, that we, God's people, God's children, need to put ourselves in these scriptures to get the real meaning out of them. Went on a walk to Emmaus, the prodigal son, they do this. Which one are you? Are you the elder son or are you the younger one? Are you the prodigal? Which one are you? I like the way Bob Dooley asks that. Which one are you? But as I looked at this case of Jesus and this leper, it hit me so hard. I'm a leper. I'll explain. Leprosy is a disease that's actually still out there, believe it or not. Now, the good news is it's now a curable disease. Modern medicine combined with scientific research has given us an edge in the treatment of this scary disease. And it has proven to be difficult to wipe it out because it has a very long incubation period between 2 and 10 years. And so it's a monster in and of itself. Not everybody exposed to leprosy contracts it either, and scientists are still debating how it spread. Did you know armadillos have leprosy? I didn't know that. When I was a kid growing up in Texas, I used to mess with armadillos because you can catch them. And I'm going to tell you how ornery I was as a little boy. They swim, too. We didn't drown him, but we did make him swim. It is often thought that leprosy causes the ears, nose, and fingers and toes to fall off. I thought so myself, but this disease damages the nerves in these peripheral area, and the body ends up reabsorbing those parts after they're damaged. So they don't just rot off. Well, they do, but it's not quite the way you might think. Nonetheless, lepers are extremely disfigured by the disease in their physical appearances. But even worse than that, they're damaged emotionally and spiritually by the isolation and loneliness that comes from the fear of that disease. Because who wants to touch a leper? Raise your hand. Who wants to touch a leper? Nobody really wants to grab a leper and hug them unless they see something in God's words or perhaps feel God's presence. The type of person who reaches out to lepers is hard to find. Mother Teresa is the person that jumped into my head. She gave her whole life to that. What a beautiful lady. This morning, I hope to show you how to see yourself in these scriptures. I think that for us to truly grow and develop as God's children, we have to learn how to do this. My question for you is are you going to be able to see yourself? Do you have that open of mind? Do you have that open of a heart? Are you willing to go on a journey with me? From Luke chapter 5, verse 12. Jesus is doing something that we wish he wouldn't do. He's touching this leper, and he's our example. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. And Scripture says, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered in leprosy. He didn't just have a little bit of it. He was covered in it. And when he saw Jesus, he fell with his face to the ground and begged him, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And Jesus reached out his hand and he touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. To contract this disease called leprosy in the days of Christ was a prison sentence, a death sentence. You were thrown out. Your family couldn't have any contact with you. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't have a job. You were done. In Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46, the Israelites were given specific instructions as for how to deal with a leper. The person with such an infectious disease must wear torn clothes, let his hair be unkempt. I'm there most of the time on the hair. And cover the lower part of his face. And he must cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as he has the infection, he remains unclean. He must live alone. He must live outside the camp. As soon as the priest had verified that you had leprosy, you were immediately ostracized until you could be cured or declared clean again. And the priest could reevaluate your condition from time to time, but he had to go outside the camp to do that. How often do you think that happened? You were considered cursed by God if you had leprosy. It was perceived that that was his way of bringing you to justice. It was okay with everyone else that you were diseased. After all, if you play with fire, you're going to get burned, right? Kind of reminds me of when Sandy was diagnosed with lung cancer, the first question everybody wanted to ask me was, did she smoke? Like, is that make it okay for her to have lung cancer? Really? I wanted to punch so many people in the mouth. Television commercials set me up for that. It's great. She never smoked. 25% of people with lung cancer never smoked. But we're given that on television. Doesn't affect you much till it's somebody that you love with all your heart. And then you're fighting mad all of a sudden. No, she didn't do that stuff. But if she did, would it make it okay? That was the same attitude these lepers were given. Was it okay that they faced that? Leprosy was this disease that separated and defiled and spread and humiliated. Now, I said earlier that I'm a leper. No, I don't have leprosy. In case you're wondering, man, I shouldn't have shook his hand this morning. Wow, man, I didn't know that when I was coming to church, right? You might say, no, not me, I'm not a leper. But think about this. Isn't it true that sin marks us just like leprosy? Isn't it an amazing coincidence that sin separates us from God because we're defiled by it? Isn't it true that sin spreads in us like a disease? At first we're horrified by it, and then gradually we get used to it. Yeah. Is this just a story or is this about life? Is this real? Can you put yourself in that scripture? The scars from our lives of sin eventually show through. Just like the leper has lost parts of his body, we lose parts of our hearts. We're all spiritual lepers. Now, that's not a comfortable thought. You're thinking, why would he come in here and beat us up like this? I know you'd rather not think of yourself as a leper, but it's the truth. We need for God to make us clean. We need for Jesus to reach out and touch us when we're untouchable. There's a ceremony in Leviticus 14 that I'd like to show you today. I want you to read along with me, and I'll let the teacher call the law open your minds to the work of redemption at the cross. Verses 1 through 20 of chapter 14 of Leviticus read like this. The Lord said to Moses, "These are the regulations for the diseased person at the time of his ceremonial cleansing, when he is brought to the priest. The priest is to go outside the camp and examine him. If the person has been healed of his infectious skin disease, the priest shall order that two live clean birds and some cedar wood, scarlet yarn, and hyssop be brought for the one to be cleansed. Then the priest shall order that one of the birds be killed over fresh water in a clay pot. He is then to take the live bird and dip it together with the cedar wood and the scarlet yarn and the hyssop into the blood of the bird that was killed over the fresh water. Seven times he shall sprinkle the one to be cleansed of the infectious disease and pronounce him clean. Then he is to release the live bird into the open fields. The person to be cleansed must wash his clothes, shave off all his hair, and bathe with water. Then he will be ceremonially clean. After this, he may come into the camp, but he must stay outside his tent for 7 days. On the seventh day, he must shave off all his hair. He must shave his head, his beard, his eyebrows, and the rest of his hair. He must wash his clothes and bathe himself with water, and then he will be clean. On the eighth day, he must bring two male lambs and one ewe lamb, a year old, each without defect, along with 3/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil for a grain offering, and one log of oil. The priest who pronounces him clean shall present both the one to be cleansed and his offerings before the Lord at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Then the priest is to take one of the male lambs and offer it as a guilt offering along with a log of oil. He shall wave them before the Lord as a wave offering. He is to slaughter the lamb in the holy place where the sin offering and the burnt offering are slaughtered. Like the sin offering, the guilt offering belongs to the priest. It is most holy. The priest is to take some of the blood of the guilt offering and put it on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed and on the thumb of his right hand and on the big toe of his right foot. The priest shall then take some of the log of oil and pour it into the palm of his own left hand and dip his right forefinger into the oil in his palm and with his finger sprinkle some of it before the Lord 7 times. The priest is to put some of the oil remaining in his palm on the lobe of the right ear of the one to be cleansed, on the thumb of his right hand, and on the big toe of his right foot, on top of the blood of the guilt offering. The rest of the oil in his palm the priest shall put on the head of the one to be cleansed and make atonement for him before the Lord. Then the priest is to sacrifice the sin offering and make atonement for the one to be cleansed from his uncleanness. After that, the priest shall slaughter the burnt offering and offer it on the altar together with the grain offering and make atonement for him, and he will be clean. Now, I don't know if you got the symbolic meaning from the law. Let me help you along. The two birds represent two different aspects of our Lord's ministry. His incarnation and death are represented by the bird put into the clay pot and killed. And the bird stained with blood and set free represents the resurrection and ascension. The law teaches what's coming. The blood was applied to the man's right ear, symbolic of God's word, then applied to his thumb, God's work, then applied to the big toe on the right foot, God's walk. Then the oil was applied where the blood was. The oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit cannot come on human flesh until the blood has been applied. We have for years been taught to see the leper in Luke 5. We've been taught about the love and compassion of Jesus Christ and his healing of that man, and we're amazed by his touching the man who was covered with this horrible disease. But we need to see ourselves as the one who has this miraculous and amazing encounter with our Savior. We need to see ourselves covered with our sins, living lives of isolation from God and from his people. And we might fake it and still go to church, but our sins isolate us. Our sins isolate us. And there's only one cure for this that we have. We have to come to Jesus Christ himself and say to him with our hearts, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And Jesus, who was always filled with compassion for those who come to him in need, says, "I am willing, be clean." And we can then be cured of our isolation and our guilt and our sin. And we can find ourselves at peace with God. What can be any better than to have peace with God? And that is with his will for all of his creation. Listen to some scripture that I collected for you. 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4 states, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." And 1 Peter 2, 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Hebrews 7, 24 and 25 helps us see how our sins are dealt with after we come to Christ. Because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood, and therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. And with all of those defining thoughts from the Word of God about salvation and cleansing, if you're a spiritual leper today and you need the cleansing power of the Son of the living God, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is your time. This is your time. I don't usually stop church because church is church, you know? Might make somebody mad, might get in the way of things, right? But if you come forward and tell me you need to have Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you haven't done that yet, I'm going to stop church. You know what? It's going to be okay. And if you tell me you want to be baptized, it's pretty cold, but there's some water right over here. And I'm not afraid. And we can work it out so it's not quite that cold too, right? Don't go another minute without having peace with God. And if you're struggling today, if you are a Christian, if you are a person who has accepted Christ, and you need just a little bit more of him, this time's for you too. This is a time for you to say, "Yes, I need you." And he's saying, "It's okay. I'm here." And he'll lay his hand on you, and he'll give you peace. I do have one person in here that I'm going to make you mad, probably. Maybe not. Butch, come here. I love you, man.
I love you too.
I'm scared about your heart thing.
I'm not as scared as I am. That's okay.
I want to pray over you. I want all of us to pray over you right now. So I'm just going to mess church up. Is that okay with you guys? Why don't you come on up here and lay hands on this man with me? Father in heaven, I'm thankful to you for this group of wonderful people that have come together. And I'm thankful to you for my friend, my wonderful friend. And he's got something going on inside his body. And you already know what it is and what's going on there. And I just pray that your hand and your power and your will be directed at healing that. Whatever it is, I pray that you'll heal him I pray that you'll use him in your kingdom. He's already been used in amazing ways in my life, and I just pray that you'll continue with that. I love you, God, and I just pray that you'll just watch over this group of Christians. Right now is kind of a stressful time for all of them. I pray that you'll bring them that shepherd that they're looking for. I pray for everyone here. Some are hurting and they haven't told me because they were afraid I'd blab it out. And I just pray that you'll touch them and heal them too. I pray for your power to fall on us today. Your spirit to be in us today. And all around us today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You're a bunch of hot-blooded people.
Did you sweat a little bit? Oh, is that how it is? Don't ever forget that Jesus is standing right there, just waiting to lay his hand on you. He says, I am willing. Be clean. We have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Don't take that lightly. Celebrate that, man. Celebrate that. That's wonderful stuff. I think he's here.